Tom Verducci, who is, first of all, he's great at his job. Doesn't he just have a professional presentation? Look at this guy. Looks like he should be an actor, Verducci, doesn't he? Look at him. The nice hair. What's going on, Tom? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, if you got any gigs for me, I'm all ears.
Well, you don't have, what, do you got five now?
I know.
What's on the resume? Where are you? I lost track. Where are you? We got Fox. See, we got SI.
We got MLB Network.
MLB Network.
Yep. That's about it for now. So if you got anything else, let me know. Movies, I'm all up for it.
You do a great job. Honestly, I have not spoken to you a ton over the years, but I've been a fan for a long time. I love the way you process the game. So let's process these Yankees who look to be broken. And I know you got to strike that balance. You are transparent when you do the stuff on. Yes, you are. Give you credit. But they are. This is not anything that I don't think can be fixed unless they take a wrecking ball and make at least two big trades. They have to.
Yeah, you made a great point, because every team is going to go through a little bit of a malaise, right? The Phillies are going through it now.
Yeah.
But they're kind of, you know, they're fine. They're 500 team during the stretch. The Yankees have been really bad, like White Sox bad, for 5-6 weeks. That would be concerning to me if I'm Brian Cashman. To me, there's just not enough offense right now, and I don't think that's going to change. Yeah, you get Stanton back, but can you count on him being healthy? The league has caught up to Ben Rice a little bit. I mean, LeMahieu, to me, looks like he cannot hit the way he always did, which is let that ball travel, hit the ball deep, and he's trying to adjust, and that's why you're seeing all these rollovers to shortstop. A ton of ground balls.
Yep.
That's not going to change. Gleyber Torres is the worst hitter in the league against non-fastballs. Is that going to change? No. So I think you're right that there's systemic changes here that need to be made, and one is not the answer. Like, I like Luis Renjifo with the Angels. I think he's a good fit for him. Good player, can play third, can play second, switch hitter. High baseball IQ, nice, but that's not enough. You need another bat in there. So where they go, I don't know, but there's a lot of pressure on the Yankees to be active.
You think, Tom, they'd be willing to give up top prospects for this year's team? This team has been the second worst team in baseball since June 7th, only to the White Sox, who are historically bad. Is this team worth going all in for by trading maybe a Spencer Jones or a Dominguez?
If you're talking about a guy like Tarek Skubal, you got two more years of control, sure. I think the Orioles and Dodgers are more in play if the Tigers trade him. I just don't think the Yankees could match a package of those teams. But you mentioned Spencer Jones. I don't think he should be off the table. And I know he's a tremendous talent, big guy, great speed, athletic skills. He's striking out 37% of the time in AA.
So did Judge, though, when Judge was young.
He did. Judge made some incredible swing adjustments after his rookie year. So we really didn't see that coming. I just don't think you take him completely off the table. It has to be a blockbuster deal, no doubt about that. But doesn't have a high on-base percentage. Haven't seen him at AAA yet. So Dominguez, you know, he's going to need to play. He hasn't played much at all this year, so just give him reps in the minor leagues. He will help in September. But Spencer Jones, I would put in a deal only if it's a true blockbuster.
I guess the bigger question is, can this team actually be saved at the deadline? Like, if Volpe doesn't do his job, or Verdugo, or Stanton, or Gleyber, like, how are the Yankees getting fixed anyway? Or the starting pitchers that they have currently, if Gerrit Cole is not pitching like an ace, there's this thought like, oh, go all in at the deadline. For what? For who? How is this team going to be fixed?
Yeah, to me, it's, say, Renjifo and a healthy Stanton. Does that completely fix everything? No, but it goes a long way. So I'm saying two bats, and I'm including Stanton as a guy who's a potential. At least he's going to make pitchers look at the Yankee lineup and say, well, maybe I do have to throw a strike to Aaron Judge, because that's not happening right now. And there's no need to pitch to him at all. Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised Diekman pitched to him the other night.
I couldn't believe that.
The same thing.
I mean, listen, it worked out.
Right.
But if you get beat by Aaron Judge in that situation, you know, you can't live with that. So, I think at least two bats. I'm okay with Cole. He had a bad night last night, but I thought his first two starts were spring training mode. He definitely has come around. The arm strength is there. Not worried about him. Actually, not worried about the rotation too much. I don't think that's a need. I would go all in on getting offense right now.
I agree. So we're talking to Tom Verducci, SI Fox, MLB Network, BT and Sal here on The Fan, live at the Sleepy Hollow Country Club, the Joe Torre Outstanding Foundation, Safe at Home Foundation. I know, and we just had Joe on for a long time, but it was amazing. Joe's the best. But it's a very different template now for a manager. More numbers driven, so the Billy Martins, the Earl Weavers, the Lasorders, the Joe Torres, it's different. So maybe it's a little tougher to lose a team now because it's more input and data stuff. Is Aaron Boone losing the team?
I don't think so, but you make a good point that you can't manage a team now the way that a Joe Torre did, or say Jim Leland. Just goes in the Hall of Fame. My favorite Jim Leland story is because he used to air out his team.
Well, we all saw the Bonds video from spring training.
Exactly.
Back
the best
day.
Player on the team in front of cameras on the field, right?
Yes.
He once aired out his team and then told his players, I think he was with Detroit at the time, when you guys leave here, you might get arrested for impersonating major league players.
Wow.
I mean, who's going to do that today, right?
No way.
Guys are so sensitive. It's a different generation that we all want Aaron Boone to. Let's face it, light into his team a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when the effort's not there. You just can't do that in today's game. So I actually don't think he's lost the team because I think in today's game, you have to pat them on the back. The old kick in the butt thing just is not happening.
That is pathetic.
The other thing, guys, is players now look at a manager and know that's not where the buck stops.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The authority was always with the manager. The power dynamic now has changed. A lot of it's in the front office. And if the lineup has changed, you don't know where that's coming from. Could be the manager, could be the front office. So, listen, I think Booney does a great job. There's no question about it. The young players especially really respond to him. And that's
Hold on. I got a challenge here. They really respond to him. Why don't they play well then?
I mean, well, that's a different issue.
That's all that matters, Tom. Yeah. So when they respond, like when he calls their name, they say, what do you need, Skip? I mean, to me, if you're going to respond to a manager, Gleyber Torres, when he was a young player, should have ran down the first baseline hard. You know, Cabrera shouldn't be hitting 220. All these kids who come up shouldn't melt. I mean, Volpe should be better. Do they really? I like Aaron Boone. But when you say they respond to the manager, I don't see it on the field.
Well, here's a test for me is LeMahieu. There's a lot of loyalty there. We all love DJ, but what he's done, how hard he plays, to me, it's just not happening. How many at-bats do you continue to give DJ LeMahieu?
He's finished.
Out of loyalty.
He's finished.
I can't go that far.
I will.
But he cannot be guaranteed playing time. And that's a test of boom.
He hasn't been good in the field. And you're right, and I was going to get to that anyway, as far as not just LeMahieu specifically, but he's the best example. Where is the accountability? And you covered the team. You wrote the book, The Yankee Years, of an organization that was, I mean, everybody was held accountable, maybe to a fault. You had a bad game, you were being held accountable. Now it's 7 weeks. We'll be fine. Everything's in front of us. Where is the LeMahieu looks like he doesn't belong in the majors. If you cut some of the guys on the Yankees rosters, Jones, LeMahieu, J.D. Davis, these guys wouldn't get picked up by other teams, and yet the Yankees are trotting him out there. I just don't get it. So where's the accountability overall in this organization?
It's a great question. You know, I looked at this the other day. Just kind of the dead at-bats the Yankees continue to give a lot of players. They have 9 players below average offensively. I'm talking about adjusted OPS under 100. So you're below average level. 9 players have got more than 100 plate appearances. Only the White Sox and the Marlins have more of those players than the Yankees do.
Oh, my God.
How does this keep happening? Where are the reinforcements? Or better yet, where's the improvement of some of the young hitters, especially a guy like Volpe? Love the way he started the season. I loved his swing adjustments that he made in the offseason.
Yeah, he made a lot, too.
He made a lot. That's not easy, guys.
I know.
That takes an entire offseason. But what's happened since the first 2 months of the season? They need to get him back on track. I actually think the Yankees are best when he's leading off, giving them that energy, getting on base enough, say 330 on base percentage above. That, to me, really set the lineup early on. They miss him in the leadoff spot.
Well, that gets us to Cashman now, because, and then from the Cashman tentacles, player development, and we could go down different avenues, which we won't. I want to focus on Brian. There's a couple of different chapters about Brian Cashman. One is a Hall of Fame chapter, without a doubt, based on his baseball accomplishments. And then respectfully, in my opinion, is the last couple of chapters, somebody who's had a great baseball life and has earned everything he's gotten, but it's not evolved to the point, at least in terms of tangible results, that justifies him still being here with all these extensions. Now, I know he's not getting fired today. I mean, that's just the lazy radio stuff. But, I mean, good God, if we're going to point the finger at somebody, we got to point the finger at him. That's it. I mean, Aaron Boone can only do with what, you know, the roster he has. He can only manipulate it so much. He's not perfect, but these are the names he's got. Brian Cashman has not given him a good team again.
Well, I mean, listen, he's on the clock in the next 5-6 days, right? I mean, this is a team.
Is he ever on the clock? I mean, no matter what happens, extension. Is he really, Tom?
Well, I mean, as far as addressing what this team needs, yes. Job security? No, to answer your question.
I got you.
You know, Kevin Long, the hitting coach of the Phillies, obviously with the Yankees before, told me a really good story that when the Yankees and Cashman thought about trading for Juan Soto, he called up Kevin Long, who had him in Washington, knows him really well, and had him for a long time, and said, Kevin, just tell me about Juan Soto before we make this deal, because I cannot miss on this one. You know, he's a little bit gun-shy because of the players he didn't get or the players he did get that turned out. He said, I cannot miss on this deal. It's a lot of player resources invested in this trade. Mm. Can he play in New York? Can he play in the lineup? Kevin Long told him he's the last guy to worry about. We're seeing that, right? Listen, that was a great deal. Now he's got to come up big again. And he made a big adjustment last year. First time got rid of a coach in the middle of a season, right, with mm-hmm. Dylan Lawson. That was a team that got so far down the analytics rabbit hole. Ugh. Everybody trying to hit the ball in the air to pull side.
Oh, God.
That's great if you're Aaron Judge. Yeah. But if you're Anthony Volpe, you know, you hit 220 and strike out a million
times. Letting fastballs that you could just rip in the gap the other way for doubles just go by because you can't necessarily lift the pitch. That's the genesis
so,
of the,
exactly.
Right?
That so was the problem. I like the way that he basically admitted that was a mistake and got out of it mm-hmm. season, which he had never done before. So, yes, to answer your question, job security, he's earned that. He's got that. I get it. But if you're a Yankee fan, he's got to show you something in the next 5-6 days in terms of improving this offense.
Talk with Tom Verducci. All right, how about the Mets, Tom? What do you think that they should do at the deadline? What do you think they will do at the deadline to help out this ball club that is now a legitimate playoff contender?
Probably a little more bullpen help, I think. Love their offense. I mean, this has been the best offense for the last 5-6 weeks, ever since Mendoza made the lineup switch.
You think it's legit?
Offensively, yes, I do. You know, the key for me is Vientos. We talked a bit about the Yankees' young players not really stepping up and progressing on the big league level. I'm so impressed with what Vientos did. You know, going to the minor leagues, Iglesias was a big influence on him. You know, picking the kid's head up because he didn't want to go back to the minor leagues and really worked hard at it, made some swing adjustments. And I think he has made their lineup a lot deeper. And having Lindor lead off, I remember Francisco telling me when they made the switch, he said, I feel like I'm a young kid back in Cleveland again. Because his job then was get on base, set the table. And I think it got him out of that run producer, tried to hit 40 home run deal when he was hitting the middle of the order. And Nimmo, to me, is more aggressive. I used to think he took too many pitches leading off, and I like the fact that he's in the RBI spot. So Mendoza's done a great job making adjustments here with the lineup. So, yeah, I think the lineup's legit. Worry a little bit about the rotation, but to me, if you could add bullpen help again, that's where I would go.
And they just got to make sure that they keep everything intact to go make a run at Soto in the offseason. What do you think the odds are that Soto lands with the Mets?
I still think he's coming back to the Yankees, but it's one of those two teams. It's a great point, though, that the Mets, without being a contender, would, to me, no shot at Soto. Now that they're showing that, you know, they've got a pretty good core here, and adding him makes them, obviously, a contender yearly basis to me. He's, you know, I think he's probably the most guaranteed return on investment that you can find.
What do you think he gets, 600? Are we talking 500? Where are you at with Soto?
I think the number... I'll tell you this. The number is over 46, which is Ohtani's present-day value. He's going to blow through that. So say 50 times 10, to me, is where...
That's where it starts.
That's where the meter drops.
Right.
Yeah.
And
they got a shot.
And
I
if
mean,
the Mets want him, they're probably going to have to go a little higher than the Yankees. But, I mean, they could do it.
Yeah. It's a test of Steve Cohen of how much he wants this player and get into that arena. But, again, return on investment. I think you sign Juan Soto, and you don't worry even a minute.
Yeah. So... You know, the Mets are interesting in the sense that they've gone from early on, a cute little story. Oh, look at this cute little renaissance. Oh, they're not as bad as the 62 Mets. Oh, and then all of a sudden, they're just bludgeoning people, and they just wax the Yankees, and all the statistics bear out, you know, this ascension on their part. So it's real. And how real, we'll find out. But it is kind of not obscured, but maybe partially offset by this cloud around Pete Alonso. Because nobody knows his future. Does he love it here? Does he like it here? Do the Mets love him? Do the Mets like him? Where does this thing go? I mean, could it be one of those 2-3 year kind of deals like Bellinger got? He's not getting 7 or 8 years, I don't think. What's going to happen with Pete?
Well, it's Scott Boras guy, so it's going to take a while. Yep. He won't have a quick resolution. And he doesn't get the 7 or 8 year deal, which I think is going to be very hard. It may be like a Bellinger situation, another Boras client, where you maybe come back or go somewhere else on this so-called pillow contract deal. I know just talking to Stearns that he wants the team to get younger, more athletic, more positional versatility. Pete Alonso is a rare breed in the game in that you're right down 40 home runs like every year, right?
There's not Except maybe guys. This year, the contract year, ironically. But no, I know.
I wouldn't rule it out. He can get hot. You've seen it. But I think he's a guy, he's not going to give you plus defense. He's not a plus defender. He's got skills that don't age well. So he's got, in today's game, in this analytical world, it's not a lot of president of baseball operations are going to fall in love with a first baseman who's a pure power guy.
Especially a righty.
Especially a right-headed hitter.
A little bit, you know.
So I think I think he's going to have a hard time, if not impossible, to exceed the money that guys like Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson got.
168-ish.
They're better players.
Yes.
Because they also give you the defensive component.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a wake-up call for him because he's got the kind of power numbers that are historic based on this point of his career. But that's not enough, I think, to really break the bank. So
but do you think he loves it here or likes it here?
I do. I do think he loves New York. It's his only place he's played, obviously. He's kind of embedded in the community in his charity work. So I don't think that's an act. I think he loves it here. But listen, you hire Scott Boras, it's going to be about the contract. Whether you love it here or love it somewhere else.
That's true. Tom, good job. Nice having you back on the show, buddy. Been a while.
My
Keep up the good work.
A lot of fun.
He is awesome. Tom Perducci, no doubt. BT and Sal on the Fan.